Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Everybody in the hall, come on in to worship our Father God today.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
I'm going to read out of John 10. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep will follow him, for they know his voice. Yet will they try by no means to follow the stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke of them. And then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Father God, I could read it all, but I'm asking for the church to read on their own so the light, the saturation of Jesus' words would penetrate our hearts today. Lord, we come before you with clean hearts and minds. We leave all the junk outside this church, Lord God. And Lord, today, we want to worship you, not our week, not how our week went, not how our counseling went, but we want to set everything else aside and worship you because you love us. You died for us, Lord. What greater friend do we have but you, Jesus? Because I know nobody here will die for me, but you died for me, Lord. And you showed me how we can rise again because you rose again, Lord. You are the truth and way in Jesus' name.
Amen. We are going to partake of the Lord's Supper. A couple things. Make sure to get your cup from the table there and also the back information table. If you did not bring your handout on the gifts of the Spirit or you have never gotten one, get one of those off the back table. We're going to be teaching on it today. I want to go to Romans chapter 12. We've been looking at Romans 12 with our discussion of the gifts, but it is also an appropriate passage for the Lord's Supper. Starting in the first verse of Romans 12, I urge you therefore, brothers and sisters, through the compassions of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service. Now, this is a sacrifice. We're commemorating the sacrifice of the Lord when he offered his body and blood to the Father as the perfect sacrifice to cover sin and to bring in righteousness forevermore. But in light of this, as we partake of the blessings of his sacrifice, he tells us to make a sacrifice. We don't have to sacrifice animals anymore. We sacrifice ourselves. We present our bodies to him, just as he presented his body to the Father as a living sacrifice. When we partake in that sacrifice, we are called to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And what that in essence means is this no longer belongs to me. You know that cry, it's my body. I can, don't let anybody tell me to do with it unless I'm the one who is controlling it. Well, that doesn't work if you're following Jesus, because it's not your body anymore. It's not my body anymore. Nobody's here to control anybody's body. What we are doing is presenting our bodies to the only one who has in the universe who has the right to control. And that says, I do nothing with this body unless he says, do it. That's the mystery of the divine human exchange. That's how incarnation works with us. In the incarnation, God became man, and the ancient Eastern Greek fathers said, God became man that we might become divine. He became human that we might partake in his divinity. And in that exchange, the one constant is we obey him. When we give our hearts to Jesus, it's not just so now Jesus can do everything for us and we're blessed and we get everything we want and we feel great about ourselves and all our desires are confirmed and affirmed. When we give ourselves to the Lord, it means we place ourselves under his authority and we come and we go as he pleases. So he says, I exhort you, I urge you therefore, brothers and sisters, I repeat it in Romans 12:1, through the compassions of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. See, so we don't die, we live. It's a living sacrifice because everything that dies in Christ is raised again from the dead. We die to the ownership of ourselves and we become alive to divine ownership, through which the grace of God can then work God's eternal purposes in the earth. And we present our bodies a living sacrifice. This is what holiness is. A lot of us think of holiness as I learn to do all these things that God wants me to do and I do them, and the things that God doesn't want me to do, I don't do. Holiness is presenting yourself to God as a living sacrifice and say, you take it from here, Lord. This now belongs to you. Yes. And that's really what ministry is. It's just that my body belongs to the Lord, and the Lord accomplishes his purposes in human history and uses me to do it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's holiness. We present our bodies a living sacrifice. This is the real meaning of holiness, and this is what it means to please God. This sacrifice is well-pleasing to God. And that ties in with Hebrews 11:1, which says, apart from faith, Hebrews 11, apart from faith, it's impossible to please God. We please him when we walk in faith. See, this is a faith act. I present my body as a living sacrifice to the Lord, not knowing what he's going to do with it. Well, I don't know what he's going to do with it. He might say, I want you to live out a life. You're single for the rest of your life. Devote yourself to me like Paul did. I don't know if he's going to say that. He might say, I am sending you to a nation far, far, far away, and you're to live your days there ministering to that nation. He might. That's the thing about why presenting your body as a living sacrifice is an act of faith. The Lord might say, Oz, you go into your bank account, all your wealth, you give it to the poor. He might say that. See, this is a tricky thing, isn't it? It's a tricky thing, isn't it? He might say something as simple as, Oz, start loving your wife, start loving your children, and these big ideas you have about ministry, understand your big ideas, take care of your family and love them and serve them. But wait a second, Lord, what do you mean I? What do you mean my? What do you mean mine? It belongs to me, says the Lord. You go and do what I want you. Or he might say, you have a mighty call on your life, but you're going to go into the desert like Paul did. You're going to wait 20 years before you enter into your ministry. You're just going to be a servant. Wow. He might do all those things, yes. See, an American Christian is, I come to Jesus, and here's my list, Lord, and here's what the Lord says. You know, take that list, present it as a living sacrifice to me. Yep, take a match to it, light your list, and throw it in the fire. The Lord might say, you've come to me and you had 20 things you want. I'm giving you none of those things. See, guys, this is serious. Following Jesus is serious. It's not about my needs and my wants and my understandings. That bull crap comes from the world. Comes from the world. It's not of the Lord. You present yourself a living sacrifice to the Lord, He'll tell you what to do. But here's the other side. I will release such a level of anointing, power, glory, ministry, healing, grace in your life, but you gotta offer it to me because I'm gonna give you back something that's far greater than anything on your list. I mean, we have these lists of all these things we want God to accomplish, and the Lord says, oh my gosh, do you not know how pathetic that list is? I want to give you so much more. Get rid of it. Oh, Lord, here's my list. Please, you know, give me a job for, you know, $20 an hour so I can make the list. I want to give you a job that gives you thousands of dollars an hour. His grace is so good. But see, to be able to deal with this, we've got to understand the grace of God. And that's why Paul continues in verse 2. He says, don't be conformed to this age. In other words, the way that the world does things, but be transfigured, transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind is God takes us up to heaven and we start seeing life from His perspective. Be transfigured, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove in your own life and in your own experience what is the will of God. See, we're always asking, God, what's your will? God, what's your will? He wants to prove what His will is as we go through this incredibly blessed experience when we do it His way. And then we may prove what is His will. His good will. He's a good, good Father. His well-pleasing will. If He's pleased, I guarantee you, you're going to be pleased. You know, as husbands, we have a saying, if Mama's pleased, then everything's all right. That's what those of us who are married say. Well, I got one for all of you, married or not married. If the Father in heaven's pleased, you're going to be pleased. If Papa's pleased, you're going to be pleased. And then finally, it's the good will, the well-pleasing will, and the perfect will. The perfect will of God doesn't mean we're somehow flawless. The perfect will of God is that everything He desires to fulfill in our lives comes to pass, the goal of our lives. And then that's why it says, and then it's at this point that Paul brings in the issue of grace. For I say through the grace that has been given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think too highly about yourself, which in the Greek it says not think too highly beyond what is necessary to think, but to think in a way that contributes to the common good. I'm now reading it from the Greek. And how you do all of that is because God has given each one of you a measure of faith. God's grace, then, as it starts to work, gives us a measure of faith. And then that measure of faith allows us to be open to Him to receive the gifts of the Spirit. See, when you present, I want to do this for God. I want to do that for God. I want to do this for God. I'm working on this for God. I'm so frustrated with this. Why doesn't this work out? Because it's not, I want to do this for God. It's what God wants to do through you. Now, what you want to do from God, more than likely, God has put it in your heart. But the hindrances are because we don't understand the grace of God. The grace of God empowers us to do what He puts in our hearts to do. You can't do it without God's grace. Oh, but how do I get God's grace? You present your body a living sacrifice. You give him your body, he gives us back his super abundant grace. And it releases a measure of faith in us. By measure of faith means is I have a measure of faith, Jan has a measure of faith, Sharon has a measure of faith, Allison has a measure of faith. Our measure of faith may be different from each other, but he gives us the measure that we need to carry out what we need to do at this particular place and this particular time. He'll give you that. He gives you a measure of faith. He pours his grace into you. Now that measure of faith increases as you grow in the Lord. It increases as the gifts he gives you, you begin to use them for other people. God gives you gifts, not again for your needs or your well-being or for you to feel good about yourself. He gives us gifts to minister to others. Everybody wants gifts to be somebody, to feel good about oneself, not the purpose of gifts. That right there is an obstacle to gifts. Now, you'll still have the gift, but it's not going to work the way it does. Gifts are not given to you for you. Jesus didn't come for himself. He came for us. He came for the Father. Oh, my gosh, we live in such a therapeutically driven mindset. And I know we've got to get whole. We've got to get well. I've taught that. I got to get well so other people can get well. The way we view things in the world, it's we're in this perpetual state of therapy. And the perpetual state of therapy means everything's focused on me. I got to get well. I got to get whole. Yes, you do. How do you get well and get whole? Present your body a living sacrifice to Jesus. That's the beginning of all healing. The beginning of all healing is removing yourself from the center of the universe and putting God in the center, putting Jesus in the center. And the way you do that is you get rid of ownership of yourself. You don't own yourself. Now, if you don't know Jesus, of course you believe you own yourself. But if you know Jesus, the real knowledge of Jesus brings us to a place where this doesn't belong to me anymore. That's why when things start coming out of my mouth that God didn't speak, it's like, uh-oh, I said that, Lord, didn't I? I mean, come on, everything that comes out of your mouth, you're going to say Jesus told you to say that? Wow. Just go on the internet and look at all the things people are saying and just say, did Jesus ask you to say that from out of your mouth? Now, there's some people who will. This country is so driven by I'm in power, and my power means I'm going to crush you if you don't do what I want you to do. And you say, where did all that come from? A certain political candidate, a certain political party? No. It came from your own heart that's been building up, and now somebody's giving you permission to do it. Somebody with authority is giving you permission to do the nonsense that's in your heart to begin with. No, not everything that comes out of my mouth is of Jesus. And when it does, when it comes out of my mouth and it's not Jesus, I just need to do what? Acknowledge it. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. I misrepresented you. You understand Moses, the greatest figure of the old covenant, did not go into the land of promise because of what came out of his mouth. See that I've been saying that for years. That's kind of like that verse got me when I was really young. So you mean my anger can stop me from entering into the inheritance God has for me? Absolutely. Absolutely. So quit justifying the things that are not of God. Hey, praise God, we've got an advocate with the Father. We can get forgiveness for our sins. I can say something that should prevent me from getting into the land, and I say, Father, forgive me in the name of Jesus, Lord. I come before you. I ask your forgiveness, Lord. Says, cancel that order to keep him out of the land. You're back on track because Jesus is always there. This is good news, guys. This is good news.
So God gives us this measure of faith by grace as we present our bodies to him so God can use us to minister to others. And then it continues. For as we have many members, that's all of us, one body, but all the members do not have the same function. We don't. See, that's the beauty of the body of Christ. If a pastor gets up and wants to conform the whole, everybody in the church, to his image, he's not a good pastor. If the father in the house wants to make everybody, all his kids, his wife, everybody in the house into his own image, he's not a good father. And if the president of the United States wants to conform everybody to his own image, he's not a good president either. What Jesus does is he blesses people. A pastor who's got any sense of the Spirit of the Lord lets everybody develop into who they are and blesses that. In fact, says the more people who are different from me in this church, the better, because I can't do everything. Because the last time I looked, my first name wasn't Jesus and my last name wasn't Christ. It's Mike Limited Osminski. Like I always tell people, I'm not good at many things in this church. I'm really good, and hence why we see people come and go and come. I'm really good at truth. I am so hard on everybody in here. If I see it's not truth, you're going to hear about it. But see, I'm the same way with myself. But I need people who are good at other things. Love and mercy and faith and healing and deliverance. I'll do the truth. But see, a good pastor who has presented his body to Jesus recognizes the value. A good father allows his children to become who they're called to be in Christ. A good father, that doesn't mean a good father ignores disciplining his children. No, it's not saying that. But there's a sense of a good father in raising up his children to become everything they're called to become. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another, having then gifts that differ according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. See, this is the Greek word for grace. We've taught this, but I remind everyone, it's charis. The Greek word for joy is chara. The Greek word for rejoicing is kairo. It's all the same. Grace creates joy, which creates rejoicing. The Greek word for thanksgiving is eucharistos. That's where we got the historical name for communion, the Eucharist. It's grace. This meal is all about the grace that Jesus imparted us because he gave himself a living sacrifice to the Father. Now, we give to others what we ourselves are. If Jesus is about giving himself to the Father, you know what he's going to give to us when we partake of this? He's going to teach us how to give ourselves to God. There's a grace release to give ourselves to God. And as we give ourselves to God, we learn how to give ourselves to each other. And when we give ourselves to each other, the gifts start to flow through us because we want to see each other blessed. And so God takes all these gifts, and in Romans 6, it's prophecy, and it's service, and it's teaching, and it's exhortation, and it's giving, it's leading, it's showing mercy. Those are just the gifts that are listed here. The different gifts are listed in 1 Corinthians 12 and other places. But Paul is saying God's grace will, the point of it is to release, charis is to release Eucharisto, or Eucharistos. Grace is to release thanksgiving, to release charismata, to release gifts. The key to the gifts, and we want to see the gifts functioning in everyone. I'll teach on it after this again, and then we're going to pray for each other and with each other for the gifts to be just released in our midst. But all the gifts, they're grace gifts because they're based on the ultimate gift that God the Father gave to us. He gave God the Son to us. So, Father, we partake of your body, partake of the body of your Son, Lord, who gave himself to you for us to show us that the highest level of fulfillment is reached as we give ourselves to you and give ourselves to others. That's the highest level of fulfillment. So we partake of your body and blood. Release this grace in our midst. Release thanksgiving and joy and rejoicing in our midst, Lord God, that we might say, freely you have received, freely give. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here's the point. Does everybody have this copy? If you don't have it, raise your hand. All right. Could somebody, Louise, would you make sure Chris and friend have a copy? Anybody else not have a copy of the gifts? This is excellent. I mean, I put this together for a class that I taught at a biblical school of ministry. Much of this information comes from James Dunn, D-U-N-N. He wrote a book, Jesus and the Spirit, and I took a lot of this from Jesus and the Spirit, but it's mingled in with my notes as well. And it's pretty valuable. I mean, I don't know that we'll go through this. Maybe we will go through this. Remember, the point that we're trying to make here is we're going to keep talking about this message until we see this message come to pass. The simplest foundational beginning point of the gifts is everyone in here who is a believer in Jesus has access to the same Holy Spirit, which can release the gifts. That's the simple way of saying everybody has the ability to move in giftings of the Holy Spirit. You have the ability to move in the gifts of the Spirit. As you'll see, and I'm going to read through those six principles governing the gifts of the Spirit again. Sometimes, you know, you have to do things a second or a third time, and it starts clicking. So we're gonna read through this, and each time I read through it, I look at it a little bit differently. But the whole point of the principles governing the gifts of the Spirit is that if you're open in faith to the Lord, you can move in the gifts of the Spirit. That's all that's needed, is being open in faith. So principles governing the gifts of the Spirit, which is under point Roman numeral number 2, gifts and ministries, toward the bottom of the first sheet. There are six principles. Number one, the gifts can only be understood as particular expressions of grace. It's God's grace. God's grace is the meaning of grace that we've been working with. It's what God freely gives us through what Jesus has done. And Paul says, will he not freely give us all things? I mean, if we were enemies, we were enemies. You know this thing about love your enemies? Well, I'm not loving my enemies. They might rip me off. I'm not loving my enemies. They might hurt me, or they've already hurt me. You need to understand why Jesus says to love your enemies, because we were all Jesus' enemies, and he loved us. Jesus didn't just love, oh, I love righteous people and unrighteous people I don't love. We were all unrighteous. We were all enemies. How big of enemies were we of Jesus? You know,
the typical question, who crucified Jesus? The Jews did, the Romans did. No, I did. You did. We all crucified Jesus. And he understood that. But we crucified. We beat. We slandered. We harmed Jesus. And his response was, he loved us back. And that's what grace is all about. It's this supernatural power that comes from God for us to act like God. I don't act like God on my own. I don't act like God because I choose to act like God. I act like God because his grace transforms me to act like God. So all the gifts can only be understood as particular expressions of grace. He who sent his only Son while we were enemies, how will he not freely give us all things? That's what grace is. It's a free gift. God likes to give things away. I mean, that's just how it works. God is a gift giver. That's part of his love language. Remember the book, The Five Love Languages? And different people have different love languages. Well, God has a love language. And his love language is he likes to give gifts to people. He likes to give gifts. Gifts are what? Free. There's no, you don't pay for a gift. And you don't owe somebody a gift back. See, that's real gifts. It's just somebody gives it to you and they don't care whether you give it back to them or not. You know, when we give people gifts and then we say, hey, I gave you a gift. How can you treat me like this? You didn't give them a gift. Gifts come with no strings attached. This is the God we serve. That's incredible. In the Gospel of Luke, 10 lepers come forth. And he heals all 10 of them. And 9 of them go away and never come back. Now one comes back and Jesus goes, I thought there were 10, but there's this one. And oh gosh, he's not even a Jew. He's a Samaritan. And he comes back and he worships Jesus. Because he understood that God's grace was not just for himself. The others took the money and run. Or took the money and ran. The song is take the money and run. But They took the money and they ran. But God gave it to them anyways. See, people will say, this is the common thing that I get as a pastor. Oh, you don't know this person that you were showing so much grace and love to. They're just manipulative. They were just manipulative. And I say, so what? What, I wasn't required to give them grace and love and care for them because they were manipulating me? Oh, P.S., I know who's manipulating me 9 out of 10 times. Every once in a while, I get somebody who really pulls the wool over my eye, and that's good because I'm not infallible, and I don't know everything. But that's because somebody's manipulating me. If the Holy Spirit says, you minister in grace to this person, you minister in love to this person, the Lord says, I don't care whether they're manipulating you or not. You are called to do this. Now, here's the thing we don't know from the narrative. That seed of healing that was planted in those other 9 lepers, and they went away and didn't come back and thank Jesus. How do you know 5 years from then, 10 years from then, the penny dropped, the light bulb went on, and they were like, wow, now I understand. Happened to the disciples all the time. Something Jesus taught them in the first 3.5 years of ministry training when he was with them, they didn't understand. And then all of a sudden, Peter will say, then I understood the word of the Lord. 3, 4, 5 years later. And that's the other thing. I don't care if somebody's manipulating me. I'm planting a seed. And I'm planting a seed for the divine manipulator. He's manipulating them. He's going to love them into loving them when they just think everything's about themselves. So see, that's grace. No strings attached. So the gifts can only be understood as particular expressions of grace. The gifts are inseparable from the gracious power which bestows them, which means there's no strings attached. God will minister through you the gifts of the Spirit no matter what you do with them. Now, I'm I lived through enough time in history of Pentecostal church to know in the latter rain movement, some of the most anointed, there were incredibly anointed ministries. There were off the chart ministries as far as healing, as far as word and knowledge, as far as miracles. And there were ministers who were ministering miracles. All kind of people were getting healed, and they were going back in their office after that and drinking. And they were going back in their office and having illicit sex with someone who wasn't their spouse. And they were going back in the office and they were pilfering money from the collection and stealing it. And their gifts never stopped. You know why? Because the purpose of gifts is to minister to people. And if somebody's healing and healing and healing and healing and doing all these other things, the Lord doesn't care. People are getting healed. Paul said it in Philippians. He said there are some people that preach the gospel just to get back at me. They don't like, they were Jewish believers. They didn't like Paul's understanding of the law. They didn't like Paul's understanding of Judaism, that we're the chosen people, that we're the mighty entitled elite ethnic group of the world. Any ethnic group that thinks that about themselves are dead wrong. There's no elite ethnic group in the world. God loves us all equally. How can you be elite? You know, who's your favorite kid, Oz? Well, my daughter Elizabeth is my favorite kid. And my daughter Rebecca is my favorite kid. And my son Joel is my favorite kid. They're all my favorite kids. That's how you just deal with it. I don't have a favorite kid. They're all my favorite kids. Because the gifts, and that's why Jesus can say also in Matthew 7, many will come to me in my name and said, didn't we not prophesy in your name? Didn't we do miracles in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? And the Lord says, and I'll say to them, I didn't know you. Depart from me, you worker of lawlessness. And you say, how can that be? Well, because the Lord would say, well, of course you prophesied in my name. I wanted to bless people with that prophecy. Of course you cast out demons in my name. I wanted those people to be set free from demons. Of course you did miracles and healings in my name. I wanted people to be blessed because your gifts don't justify you before me. They're for others. Now, I'm saying that for this reason. Any one of us, it's not how spiritual or how moral we are and things like that. We can receive the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not saying that we should be like those people. I'm just simply saying that shows how no strings attached to gifts. Gifts are. God, see we need to understand the gifts are inseparable from the gracious power which bestows them. God gives us the gifts so we can give them to others. So I'm saying, just understand, no matter if however you look at yourself in the mirror, and you know, we live in a season and a day and a time where a lot of people don't think too much about themselves. Men are under attack. Young men are under attack. Their manhood is being stolen. Young women are under attack. Their identity as women is being distorted and perverted and manipulated and used. I remember I was at a meeting of pastors, and a black pastor got up and said, man, we've got to pray for our young men, our young black men. Their manhood is being stolen from them. And I raised my hand, and the manhood of all my white young men is being stolen from them. Yeah, that's right too, brother. Amen. And so young men are under assault. They are so under assault. Young men are beat down, told they're worthless, told they're no good. And people don't feel good about them. Who would? And their manhood is under assault. It's trying to be stolen from them. And young women too. And that's the work of the devil.
And that's the work. People want to control you, so they beat you down to nothing so that you just listen to them. Politics does that. I don't care which side it's on, right and left. It's beating people down so they can control you. But see, even if you don't feel good about yourself, guess what? Jesus can manifest his gifts through you. Point number two, the gifts are always events. The gracious activation of God through men. Gift is an event. Jesus wants to minister love to somebody, so he's going to use you with a gift of the Spirit to minister his love. Jesus wants to minister hope to somebody, so he's going to use you to minister his hope to somebody. Jesus wants to minister healing, deliverance to somebody, so he's going to use you as your vessel. And there are these events, and it's God activating who he is through his grace in you to minister grace to other people. So here's how you position yourself to receive gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. Just desire to bless other people. Just desire to help other people. Just desire to equip other people. Just desire to heal other people. That's all. That's the only qualification you need for the gifts of the Spirit. I want to minister God's grace to others. And if you have that qualification, it's going to work. It's going to work. It says they're events. And that's what they are. It's just Jesus, this my brother and sister here, this person there, my children, my spouse, they need something. God, of you, use me. Use me. Or use somebody else in the church. See, that's the thing I always like. I don't have to have every gift of the Spirit as Pastor Oz. Well, I'm Pastor Oz. I have the gift of healing, prophecy, discernment of spirits, miracles, deliverance. I don't need that. All I need is just to have the gift of truth and the gift to teach it and to prophetically or apostolically proclaim it. Rest of you guys do the work. I'm going to do what I can do. And see, but that's the beauty of it. You don't have to do everything or be everything. You just have to be what that person needs at that particular time in that particular moment, and God will give it to you. Number three, the gifts are always the activity of God and the manifestation of the Spirit through human beings. They're always God acting, the Spirit manifesting through us. It's a demonstration of God's Spirit and God's power. As such, the gift is always something freely given. I should have put freely given there, but this was years ago when I wrote this. As such, the gift is something freely given. It's something unachieved. Oh, I don't deserve to use the gifts of the Spirit. Yes, you do. Because Jesus has made you to deserve to be able to minister life to others. I mean, look, he was here for 3.5 years, and he knew his church would still be at this work, 2,000 years later. He had 3.5 years to get things going, but he had over 2,000 years until he returns, or however long until he returns, to get his church ready to do it. And guess how he got his church ready to do it? You don't have to achieve anything. I did the work. See, when we think we've got to achieve anything, well, I'll only be good at this gift if I achieve these things. I'll only win God's favor if I do this or do that. I'll only be worthy to do this if 10 of these things on my list I make righteous in my life. You know what that does? It negates what Jesus did. Why do you have to do anything? Jesus did it all. See, that's grace. That's the starting point. Now, your life is going to change. You're going to become more moral. You're going to become more righteous. We get that. That's the sanctification process. But if we make our achievement makes ourselves worthy before God will bestow his blessings and his grace on us, we simply say, what Jesus did doesn't mean anything. He came because we couldn't. He did because we didn't. And see, again, and I'm saying this to the young men right now, because there's so many young men
who this is how they walk around in life. I'm so unworthy. Nothing good ever takes place in my life. Nothing good ever is going to. Lies! If you're living in a world without Jesus, then go ahead and put your head down. But I'm not living in a world without Jesus. Okay? And you know what he does? Lift up your heads and be lifted up, you heavenly gates, and the King of glory shall come in. The Lord lifts up our heads. And when we do this as believers, it's called, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in the narrative that Jesus spoke in the gospel. I believe that other narrative that my culture's telling me, that I'm worthless, that I'm no good, that I'm horrible, that I'm terrible, that I'm worthless. Why is it? This is the thing that amazes me. Why will we, God gives us our imaginations to shape our future and to shape our identity. Why is it so easy to imagine this horrible, bad, terrible stuff that's going to happen? And why isn't it all right to imagine the opposite story? Wonderful, good, successful, life-changing, life-transforming things are going to take place because of Jesus. Why is one acceptable and the other not? When people are telling me about how horrible their lives are, how horrible their lives have been, and how horrible their lives are going to continue to be, well, why can't you just have another narrative? Yeah, maybe my life was horrible and terrible, but until Jesus came, and I know now all these good things are going to happen to me. Why? Well, figure it out. There's a God and there's a devil. And whose story will you believe? Now, I'm just like everybody else. Circumstances can get me down, and I will occasionally be walking around like this. I'm 73 years old. It's just the same old garbage. Always happens. And you know, Jesus is just standing behind me while I'm doing that. Get it out of your system.
That's right.
Okay, come on, mope a little bit more.
There you go.
Come on, feel a little bit more sorry for us. Believe a few more lies until finally it's like, then the Lord, I'll look around and say, oh, there you are, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And the Lord will say, what do you feel now? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he's always there. He lets us mope. He lets us say those things, and he lets us believe the lies from political parties that tell us exactly that. Why do we even listen to anything political? I don't hear any good news coming from either party. I don't hear any good news coming from those who don't agree with either party either. Why do we listen to that nonsense? Because it's set up, it's the perfect design for con men to con and con women to con. It's a con job. They want you to be looking like this because, you know, when you're walking around like this, the world is so terrible. Woe is me. You know you're easier to control that way.
You got it. That's right.
They're not going to control me. They're not going to control me. They can put the gun in my head. They're not going to control me. Because I'll look at them and say, well, after you shoot that gun and blow my brains out, I'm coming back. How about you? Okay, what does this all have to do with gifts of the Spirit? It's real simple. God's grace. See, the Lord lets me do that, and then I turn and I see him, and he puts his arm around me. Are you okay now, son? Yes, I am okay now, son. Why are you okay? Because I see you, Lord, and I remember. And why weren't you okay? Because I wasn't looking to you. I wasn't believing in you. I was just wallowing in, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. Now see, it would be okay to walk around and woe is me if Jesus hadn't died and been raised from the dead and ascended to heaven. But he has. And we, right here, I mean, I understand people who don't know Jesus walking around like that, but I don't understand why we would walk around like that. I don't understand, but I do understand. You know one of the biggest reasons why Christians walk around like this? Because if I really walked in the identity that I have in Christ, I'd have some responsibilities to do good. I'd have some responsibilities to bless people. I'd have some responsibilities that I don't have to have any responsibilities when I'm walking around, woe is me, woe is me. I don't have to do anything. And see, some people are just happy being numb. Heck, you wonder why the addiction level is the way it is now? Because that just helps me to be numb and not have any responsibilities and not think about anything and not... Do you know why there's so much mental illness? Because mental illness, man, that puts you in numb land. It does. Pastor Ezra, are you saying it's my fault that I'm in mental illness? Well, yeah. All I know is this. Jesus says there's nothing that he can't heal. Okay? I'm not going to say why people are mentally ill or not mentally ill, but I do know this. There's nothing that Jesus can't heal. And maybe Jesus wants to use you to let his spirit move through and touch that person who's mentally ill. I'm not saying you're mentally ill,
okay.
But you receive there's whatever you days. Need in the name of
there
Jesus. All right. So, gifts of the Spirit. What? 11:59, because we like to start praying at 12. So, we're at end of number three. There's no immediate causal connection between the gifts and sanctification. You can, in other words, you can move in the gifts if you're not sanctified. Like I said, being sanctified helps you to move in more efficiency with the gifts. It helps you to move in the gifts far more efficiently from a sanctified person from an unsanctified person. But it's saying, if you're just starting the journey, why don't you do something like this? And this is what we're going to open up to the church in a few minutes. I don't care if you're just new to the journey or you've been on the journey a long time. If you're not moving in the gifts of the Spirit, why don't you try something like this? This is called Prayers for Dummies, okay? That would be, you know, the title of the book. Why don't you say, Holy Spirit, use me today. Release your gifts of the Spirit in me today for somebody in my life. Somebody you send my way. Somebody in the body of Christ. Try praying something like that, because Scripture says you have not because you ask not. So all I want everybody to do today is start asking the Holy Spirit to release the gifts of the Spirit in your life. I'm not going to finish the principles, but just look at the next pages. All right, look at page 2. Look at all the gifts. Just go through. Number 2 on page 2, gifts of miracles. Okay, point number 3 under 2, healing. There's gifts for physical healing. There's gifts for inner healing when people have mental, emotional, psychological problems. There's gifts of deliverance when people are tormented by demons. There's gifts of faith. You have not because you ask not. Start asking God for the gifts. They're gifts of revelation. That's number 3, gifts of revelation. And revelation, you know what the gift of revelation really is? It's just being able to pray for people for Jesus to be more revealed to them in their lives. That's a gift. Then you drop down under revelation to wisdom and knowledge. Word of wisdom. Word of knowledge. They're gifts where a word of knowledge connects people to the supernatural realm. It's just a word you give them. The word is supernatural, and it connects them to the supernatural realm. See, word of wisdom, I like the definition for word of wisdom. It's like that number 1 just before the number 4 at the bottom of the page. Word of wisdom, a word that provides insight into
or a fresh understanding of God's purposes in Christ, or the benefits this work brings to believers. A word of wisdom can be, I get up here and he's running on and on and on, but I'm sowing seed, I'm casting out seed. There's a lot of words of wisdom. There's supernatural words when I'm saying, for people to, oh, I never understood that. That's what prophetic teaching is. Now, all my peers, and they all are, the teachers think I'm a prophet, the prophets think I'm a teacher, they don't know what I am. So what they did is Papa Pete Beck said, he's a prophetic teacher. I said, that'll work. And when I'm sharing, I'm not just teaching principles. I'm releasing prophetic words. And people say, oh my gosh, I never saw that. When Tim Atchley comes, he's going to be releasing some stuff. When Wes starts his Bible study for the young people, he's going to be releasing stuff. You old people have to just still go on Zoom to get prophetic words from me. But the young people can hear prophetic words released from Wes. And all of you want to really know what Wes says, send your kids to the class. Send your kid, drive your kids up here, send your kids. They'll get them and they can come home and tell you what's going on. You can tell the old people what's going on. There's inspired utterances. That can be prophecy. You go to the next page. That can be exhortation. That can be discernment of spirits. That can be evaluating, testing spiritual guidance. It can be teaching. It can be singing in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. There are so many gifts. I've got them all listed on here. What I attempted to do was find every single gift and ministry gift in the New Testament. Those sheets are valuable, guys. Everybody likes to say, well, the gifts of the Spirit, turn to 1 Corinthians 12. Like, those are the only gifts of the Spirit. That's just one list. I gave you a second list in Romans 12. This at the start, if you go to the first sheet, go back to the first sheet, where it says number Roman numeral 2, gifts and ministries, lists and descriptions. That's all the lists of the gifts of the Spirit that Paul listed. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14, Ephesians 5, Colossians 1, Colossians 3, 1 Thessalonians 5, Romans 8, 2 Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians 12. Did you guys hear when I talked about Paul going up to heaven? I talked about it last week. Of course, there were only 9 people here because it was pretty bad out there. But it is on the podcast. Paul, God caught him up to heaven. And he saw things that were going to take place. That was a gift. Mm-hmm. Oh, can I have the gift of going up to heaven and seeing what's going to happen? Why don't you ask the Lord and see? Okay, so here's what we want to do today. We want to do like we always do. Now, well, we've done it different. We're going to break into small groups. The only requirement is I want to make sure in each small group there's either somebody from the leadership team or there's somebody who's an intercessor, somebody who walks in the ministry in the house. I mean, Carolyn Gardenhire, Joyce Underwood, Sharon Kane, people who are ministers in the house. I just want to make sure one, maybe two people are in each group, and we want to just release prayer over everybody in the group so that God begins to release the gifts of the Spirit. And as happened in previous times, if you don't get in a group, then you're going to see somebody named Mike Osminski. I'm going to be running after you, chasing you down the hall, chasing you out into the parking lot and say, come on, let's pray. We just want to pray. We want to activate gifts. And see, those who walk in gifts can activate gifts in other people. Here's how I want to close in prayer. Now, you know that for the last, I don't know, 3-4 years or what, we were down for a while because of COVID. And so what I did is when we came back, see, when did we come back after being down from COVID for a little while? May 23rd, 2021, we opened the church back up to everybody. That's when we were having skeleton crews and we had people who were in
the building, and we'd have the worship team, we'd have a speaker, but everybody else was at home. And then on Sunday, May 23rd, 2021, we started bringing everybody back, and the Holy Spirit started speaking to me. I have every Sunday for the last, that's almost the last 4 years, I have a prayer or a prophetic revelation or an apostolic declaration that God gives me for the Sunday. And I just pray into it and see what God does with it. What was so powerful was the first Sunday, May 23rd, 2021. Think about where you're at that point, and you'll know who I'm talking about. God spoke to me that first Sunday. He said, there's somebody who's struggling with cancer, going to be healed. And the Lord said, and there's a couple that they've been having problems getting pregnant, and they're going to have a child. And it happened. And I said, wow, these are good prayers to start out a meeting, you're telling me. So flash forward to this Sunday morning. And sometimes God gives them to me on Sunday, sometimes Saturday night, sometimes during the week. He gave me this, I think it was actually Friday night, Saturday morning, and I was so burdened with things. And I just started going through my mind, thinking about all the things I was burdened with. And this was what formed the prayer day, and this is what I'm going to close the meeting with, this prayer. Lord, we rebuke dangers. We rebuke demons. We rebuke hardship. We rebuke disease. We rebuke dysfunctions of soul. We rebuke obstacles to following you. We rebuke fear. We rebuke depression. We rebuke falsehood. We rebuke addictions, and we rebuke unbelief. And we release your superabundant grace and Holy Spirit to counter these afflictions and empower your people this day in the name of Jesus, we pray it. Amen. Let's break into groups and pray for each other. Just pray as the Holy Spirit leads. Amen.